Unlocking potential, one dream at a time, on the CJ Moneyway Show.
Sit back and relax. You're listening to the Moneyway Show.
What's up, my good people? Can you imagine a world where every person you meet has an extraordinary story to tell? Well, welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show, the podcast that brings those stories right to your ears. And I'm your host, CJ Moneyway. And I'm on a mission to discover the extraordinary in everyday life. You'll hear heartfelt, real-life stories from individuals who have formed their own path, shattered stereotypes, and transformed their personal challenges into becoming a driving force for positive change. On the CJ Moneyway Show, we dive into the cultural issues and celebrate the uniqueness of diverse communities. But that's not all. Join us as we journey into the realm of self-help, personal growth, engaging with experts and everyday heroes alike to inspire, enlighten, and entertain. Get ready to be moved, to be inspired, and to discover the untold stories that surround us every day. This is the CJ Moneyway Show, unveiling the extraordinary within the ordinary. So what you waiting for? Dive in, join us, and become part of our community of storytellers, and welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show.
Welcome, my good people. Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. And I'm with your host, CJ Moneyway. Let's get it.
Hey, CJ Moneyway, welcome to the Moneyway Show. I'm here with my boy P. Miller today. Tell us about that win, man, that you had on Wheel of Fortune, man. You know, I ain't never seen nobody, you know, go on Wheel of Fortune that I know that went on there and just did what you did, man, because you killed it on there, dog.
Right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. No, man, this, the whole story, man, it go way back. It's crazy how the story even start, man, because, like, everybody that really know me, everybody that's in my circle, they know, like, Wheel of Fortune is kind of like that's my thing. They like, man, this dude crazy at this, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw him before the letters up there. I try to guess what it is, you know, before a letter even come up there. So,
yeah. So
that's how I started, man. So when I finally, somebody had to talk me into getting on auditioning for the show. Because I never even thought about it, man. I just didn't think about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was a possibility yet, you know. So eventually, man, my niece, she talked me into getting on it, man, and, once I passed the audition and they invited me out there to the show, I can say I was kind of like overprepared, man. It was like one of the moments, man, that you just wait for. It was like a layup, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. People were like, were you nervous? And I'm like, man, I kind of was ready for it, bro. It sounds crazy as hell, man. But like I say, the people that's in my circle, they know. They like, when they find out, they were like, ooh.
People to go get it, huh?
Did what they expect me to do, I guess.
Hey, so you say audition. So what did you have to do for the audition? Like, how did that process go?
Okay, since COVID, they do it differently now. It's a Zoom call.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I think it's three people. So it's the producer of the show, one of the producers of the show, three people, three contestants, and all on a Zoom call. And what they do is they do a toss-up. So they'll have a screen with a puzzle on the screen, and each letter will pair up little one by one, and the first person to say their name solves a puzzle or whatever. So we had to do that, and we had to do an individual test where they gave us like 16 puzzles. We had to try to figure them out. It was like just puzzles with like a few letters in it. So we had to try to figure them out. So audition was kind of tough, man, because the crazy thing about it, I don't know why, but I didn't even have my Wi-Fi hooked up. You know what I'm saying? I had my Wi-Fi off. And I'm wondering, like, man, what's going on? So for, like, the first 10 minutes, man, I was struggling for the audition, but I still ended up winning the little competition with the other three guys.
Okay. Yeah, that was cool, man. When you sent me the link and I checked it out, man, I see how you just smoked everybody. Then you got the last one. Tell us about that trip you won, man. You know, I ain't gonna let everybody get into your pockets on how much you actually won. Make them go to YouTube and go see the show. But tell us about that trip, man.
The trip was all that, man. I ain't gonna lie. The trip, I actually just got back from the trip recently, man. The trip was to St. Lucia.
Okay.
It's an island in the Caribbean. Beautiful island, man. I mean, it wasn't all inclusive, but they give you $1,000 spending money. So you need about that for all this. I mean, if you want to partake in all the stuff and have some fun and do all the other things and on the island, man. But I mean, it was a well needed vacation, man.
I hear you.
As far as the win, man, you know how it is when you win some money. As soon as you win the money, everybody you owe. You owe. Come out the woodworks, man. So I had to deal with that for a little bit, but other than that, the trip was all that.
Well, you know, man, that's the price of success. You know what I'm saying? You get a little money, like you say. Everybody want to get in your pockets, you know. So yeah. I know, going back to your background, man, you know, you was a music guy. You know what I'm saying? So coming up from the G, from where we came up from. So, like, when you was in music, man, like, what inspired you? You know what I'm saying? Coming up, you know, like, was it the things that you saw or the things that you actually experienced or what drove you to the music?
I think music was influenced as an influence at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't even remember not liking music. I can't even remember not wanting to do some type of form of music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I believe that came from my parents, man. But my mama really, man, she played a lot of music. My mom and my sister, they played a lot of music, man. So I grew up on all that stuff. It's funny you ask, because I got to promote my joint. I'm doing a documentary right now.
Okay.
And it's in the works right now. I'm just finishing up the pilot episode. And it stems back from my group in Gary, because we was one of the most influential groups in Gary.
Okay.
At that point in time, it was 1989. The group was called Showtime Posse. And we was winning. I don't know if you remember the Easter talent shows. That was West Side every year.
Yeah.
The Citywide talent show, the Genesis Center. But we was winning all that. You know what I'm saying? I document that. I got footage of old footage of that, so I document that and just how that music and coming together with those guys and that camaraderie kind of shaped me into the guy that I am today. So this is just basically an explanation of who I am as a person and why, and it all stems from that. So music has been in my life for as long as I was able to talk.
Hey, man, that's what's up, though. You know what I'm saying? The grassroots, like you say, coming up, and it shaped you into the person that you are now. You know, and that's cool, man. When that documentary come out, man, you're going to have to let me know when it drop, man. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to try to send you a trailer or something like that.
Okay, because you know, I promote it, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what we here for. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Money Way Show is all about, bringing a platform to people like us. You know what I'm saying? That won't get one in any ordinary spot. You know what I'm saying? So this is about us coming up in the G, you know, Northwest Indiana. Hey, we all we got.
Exactly, man. And it's strength in numbers, man. So when we all come together and we all work together, imagine how powerful that could be.
Hey, that's how it is, you know, but you know how we are though, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't nobody want to see another person have a dollar more than they got. You know, it's hard to get the support out here from. Actually, man, it's harder to get the support from the people who you think will support you the most. You know what I'm saying?
Like you said, the people from your own city. Okay, not just the city, but the region, the area. You look at a lot of the reason that hip-hop blew up in New York the way it did is because everybody supported each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it didn't matter. Nothing mattered except the fact that, they from New York. They from the Bronx.
Yeah.
They from Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They from Harlem. That's how it is. So that's how we got to be. We got to be like, oh, they from the G. Oh, they from Delaney. They from Dory Miller.
Yeah.
Oh, they from the Park. They from 49. They from down here. The G is the G, man. It's a small little island. But we all got to pitch in and support each other. Or else it ain't going to work.
No, it ain't going to work. And, you know, even with that, you know what I'm saying? Even with that being said, like, it comes to a point where everybody want to be the first one to do something. Like, we got Freddie Gibbs, you know, and he out there doing his thing, you know what I'm saying, or whatever.
Salute to Gibbs.
Oh, yeah, salute to Gibbs, man. He out there doing his thing. He out there acting and everything, you know, and that's cool because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make it to do other things, you know what I'm saying? Once you use your talents for one thing, it'll multiply into other things, you know what I'm saying? So big, big ups to him. But, like, It's more facets to the game, too. You know, like, everybody want to be a rapper. And everybody want to, you know what I'm saying, want to grab the mic and they want to be the first ones to blow up in the G. But it's a lot of aspects to the game. Like, dude, you know what I'm saying? Your rap time might be over with. How about training up some of these younger cats and be a manager? Like I told one of my partners, I say, instead of trying to be Biggie, be Puffy. Not the Puffy. That's the Puffy right now. Puffy had a rough year.
Time to be Puffy right now.
But
I know what you're saying though. As far as it's like I said, when I say it's strength in numbers, that means it's strength in numbers. We can have a successful entertainment label or some kind of home base in Gary alone.
Yeah, we can. We can.
And so many people that, but we, like I said, everybody wants to be the one. I'm doing this. Look at me. Look at me. I mean, I've been doing music all my life, man, and I've been out there, but I ain't never been like a look at me cat. I'm just all about, man, look, I'm all about the art.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even about the fortune and fame, because I don't, the fame, be careful what you wish for, man.
Yeah.
Fame is crazy. So you don't live a normal life no more, so I'm going to take advantage of this normality that I'm living right now. You know what I'm saying? Because once that fame hits, then your life is no longer your own life.
Hey.
It's no longer private.
Yeah, you're right, man. And, you know, like, I'm going to put it like this. Not to say that, you know, I'm famous or, you know what I'm saying, this and that. But I've been doing a few things, right, like on Facebook and things like that. And it's funny, man, that sometimes now that I go out, somebody will see me and be like, oh, man, I seen you on that bag. That one episode, man, he said, oh, man, I love that. Keep doing it. So you don't know who watching you, you know what I'm saying? Once you put it out there to the masses, you don't know who watching you. And so now you have to start being careful, you know what I'm saying? Like you just said, it ain't the same no more. Like, I got to move differently because, like, I might have said something that might have offended somebody. You feel what I'm saying? And not knowing who I have and offended, and they see it, now they see me in person, it can jump off to something, you know. So it's a different realm. It's a different. So I don't want the fame either, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not doing this for money, but whatever comes with it, comes with it. You feel what I'm saying? But as far as the money, as far as the success, man, you know, it is what it is. I've been broke my whole life. So that ain't the motivating factor in this, you know what I'm saying? It's just that, like you say, I want to see other people grow. And if somebody come on my show and say, like, P came on my show and he promoted his documentary, you know, he promoted the new LP that he finna put out that go to the documentary. And if P come out and he go out and make $5 million, I ain't hating on P. I'm getting with P like, hey, bro. Show me some stuff. You feel what I'm saying? Show me some things. Help me work on this project that I'm working on. You know, you always got to surround yourself with people that's smarter than you.
You have to, man. And you have to surround yourself with people, like-minded people.
Exactly.
People that just don't settle for just the normal, everyday, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's people that create. It's creators out here. It's artists out here. It's creators. It's movers and shakers out here, man. So you surround yourself with a core group of people that's like-minded, and goal-oriented like you are, man, sky's the limit, bro. So I'm trying to collaborate, man. I'm reaching out. So I'm glad I got a platform, man, reaching out to all actors, all musicians, rappers, singers, whatever, man. I'm trying to create music, and I'm just trying to share my talent with others and collaborate, man. Let's blow this thing up. We well up.
I feel you. I'm glad that you said that off the air. We're going to chop it up a little bit more about some things, you know what I'm saying? Because me, my cousin, another little homie I got, we working on some stuff, too, that's fitting exactly what you're saying, you know? So, you know, we all get together. And like I tell them, man, like I was telling them, I want to get to the point, like, you know, remember the movie Set It Off? Before they went to rob the bank and they was just sitting around that big round table, you know what I'm saying? That's what I want to do. Just us. Well, we sitting around the round table making moves, making decisions, you know what I'm saying? And then bring them in for the money.
Yeah.
So, like you say, man, it's a lot of talent. It's a lot of creators. It's a lot of people that's doing different things. I mean, movies, film, documentaries, everything, man. So if we all get together, put our mind to it, like you say, you got to be with like-minded people, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's not afraid to spend money neither, because that's one of the issues that I've had with people. We can get together, come up with an idea, come up with a plan, but then as soon as the money part get, you get crickets, you know what I'm saying? People start falling off. So
you got to be willing to invest in yourself. That's why like-minded people all don't see the, some people can't see the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Some people don't see the big picture. They just see the right now. But you got to get like-minded people to see the big picture and be like, okay, I'm willing to invest in myself, in what I believe, in this project.
Mm-hmm.
I'm humble right now, man. So I'm really coming to people and saying, look, man, look, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I don't know it all. I'm not the most talented cat in the world. But I do know art. I do have creativity. And I am willing to collaborate, man. Like I said, we can make something big.
Yeah, you know, I'm all for that, man. Like I say, off air, we're going to get a chance. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk because I got some things that's in the works, a couple projects. Like I said, I'm working with my cousin. He a producer, you know what I'm saying, making some fire beats and everything like that. We was talking about doing a documentary out there in the hood. So, yeah, we definitely going to get together and chop it up on some things, you know what I'm saying? But so, like, coming from the G, man, coming from Gary, like you were saying, like, coming from Gary, we have challenges, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, in the era where you was talking about 89, through that era right there, we was considered the murder capital, you know?
That's what it was.
And, but it was back capital, you know, how they go, because our city, right, our city wasn't as big as Chicago or Los Angeles or nothing like that, but, like, we came through that era, you know, because we both graduated, what, 92? And so we came through that era where you had to watch yourself because people was dying every day, bro.
I touch on that on the documentary a lot as far as that era. I say that era was the most dangerous era for young black males because it was the heart of the crack era, the heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the heart of the gangbanging area.
Man.
That era, bro. So at that point in time, man, if you were a young black male between the ages of 13 and 19, you didn't have a lot of choices. Depending on where you stayed, you didn't have no choice.
Yeah, exactly. And that was even on us, too. The way that you moved around the city. I mean, back at that time, that's when Gleason was jumping off. Gleason was jumping off big time like Crenshaw. And not only that, that's, you know, we had the clubs, we had In Effect, we had, you know, that's when In Effect was jumping off for our age down there in Tri-City.
Yeah.
And so it ain't that we didn't move around. It ain't that, you know what I'm saying, we shied away from certain things. It was just that by the grace of God, I will say that by the grace of God, that we still sitting here today to be able to tell our story because there's so many others that's not here that did the same things that we did, but that's not here to tell their stories, though. And so that's nothing but the grace of God right there, bro.
All praise due to God, man, for that.
So,
because I tell my children that. I tell my grandchildren that. Like, hey, I beat the odds.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm meant to be here. I got a purpose on this earth for something.
Yeah.
I beat the odds, you know what I'm saying? And my purpose ain't done yet. It's not to win the Wheel of Fortune. That was just the
stepping stones.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Stepping stone. That, and that's what life is all about. You know what I'm saying? You go through things. You have trials and tribulations. You go through the fire. But, you know, I'm realizing now, and I know now, didn't know then, that even in the fire, man, he with you. You know, I think of the Hebrew boys when they went in the fire and they kept cutting it up and, you know, it was a fourth one with them. And they say, well, you know, that was Jesus. And I know coming up in the city, man, coming off of 49 and coming raised up in Marshalltown, we went through some things, man. But even at the same time going through some things, it was certain things that I just didn't do. You see what I'm saying? It's like, it's just certain moves and certain ways that I just didn't, it wasn't appealing to me. And that, too, may have saved our lives, too.
I give props to my parents, man. They knew what was going on around me, and they know I was the only boy in the house. I had two older sisters. So they knew, like, hey, what was going on around me. But I think they also recognized that I was a pretty smart kid, you know what I'm saying? So I knew I made right decisions. I mean, I wasn't perfect. I messed up a lot, man. I had Title 20 and all that, man. But as far as street smarts, as far as knowing, as far as how to recognize danger and all that, that's God telling me what to do back then, man. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm still here. That's why you still here.
Exactly. It was
a rough era, bro.
That man.
Just think about it. Me and you, we the same age. We know a lot of our cats didn't make it.
We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy, CJ Moneyway. I appreciate you rocking with the Moneyway Show. Hey, if you listen to me on Spotify, Apple, Buzzsprout, whatever platform that you may be listening to the Moneyway Show on, why don't you drop your boy a review, share it with your friends, you know, anything and everything. All support is appreciated. The Moneyway love you guys. I appreciate you rocking with me. Follow me on my YouTube channel. All my platforms, man, social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, hit me up. All my links are in the show notes. Hey, I appreciate you guys for rocking with your boy. Be on the lookout for some things coming up that I got coming up pretty soon. I'll tune you into it a little later. Peace.
Man, didn't make it either due to getting killed in these streets or going to jail, you know, for the rest of their life. So. Yeah. So like you say, I grew up in a two-parent home too. And Lord knows I made mistakes, you know, did a lot of things. But it was just certain things and certain, I ain't gonna even say places, because I've been to places. I've been to some projects, you know what I'm saying, chasing that thing, you know, whatever, whatever.
You knew how to move though.
Hey, Cole, back then, a lot of times I moved solo.
Mm-hmm.
In and out, you know what I'm saying? And then... And then I had an ability to relate to people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not coming in like I'm this high mighty cat. You know, I can blend in with anybody. Oh, we playing spades today? Oh, let's get it in. You know what I'm saying? Oh, hey, man, hey, can you go to the liquor store for us? Hey, all right, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was able to adapt to whatever situation I was in, and I was able to get out of some stuff because I wasn't coming in gung-ho, you know what I'm saying, whatever, whatever. You know us, man, we grew up in that fighting age, you know. Well, we were fighting. We were fist fighting back then. Things got a little different.
That's what it was about. It was about these, man. Yeah. Niggas weren't pulling no pistols back then, bro. Cats wasn't pulling no pistols back then.
Nah, either you was going to get hit in the mouth or you was going to hit somebody in the mouth. It was plain and simple, you know.
They was jumping cats back in the days. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, I know. I got jumped in the eighth grade, you know. I got jumped in the eighth grade, so yeah, I know about being jumped, but I got...
Shooting on fair ones all the time.
Oh, no, you know what I'm saying? And you know what? And that's life, though. Life ain't fair sometimes, you know. Right. You get beat up and you get jumped in life, but that don't mean that you quit, you know what I'm saying? Right. It don't mean that you quit, it don't mean that you a punk. I mean, I've even had fights, and I've lost a few. But I probably won more than I lost, but you win some, you lose some.
And you got to take the good with the bad, take the crooked with the straights, take the L's, but don't take them as losses, take them as lessons, man.
Lessons. I bet you won't get me like that.
Lessons, man.
I bet you won't get me like that next time. I bet you won't get me like that next time. Yeah, I'm going to see that one coming. But so yeah, you know, coming up in the hood, the movie. So another thing that we got in common, we both worked at the boat. So we worked at the boat back in the day, you know what I'm saying? And I just got through working with you, about a year or so ago, about a year and a half ago. I guess.
Do you miss it? Do you miss it?
No, not at all.
No, me neither.
Not at all. Not at all. You know what I'm saying?
Not at all.
You know, that's one of my last resorts. You know, I'm not going to be without a job, because one thing, even not doing it, one thing that we've gained over the years is the experience.
That's
so
it.
We can go on anybody crap table and get a job at the casino.
Anywhere.
So my thing is, I want to ask you, and we'll just end it on this. The difference between people gambling 20 years ago than these present day gamblers. Like, what is the difference to you, you know, that makes you not want to go back and do it again? Because I know what the difference is for me.
I think, 20 years ago, I started, I think, 96. That's almost 30 years.
Well, yeah, we was in the game a long time, and I started May 96.
The one difference I can notice straight up is like back then it was new.
Mm-hmm.
So people weren't accustomed to gambling, so there was an excitement to it, and it was kind of like, you know, they was more appreciative of the service.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think today is more, a lot of people done caught on, a lot of people have become degenerate gamblers, it's become habit.
Mm-hmm.
for a lot of people. It's become a lifestyle for a lot of people.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of the customers, a lot of the gamblers, they don't look. They just got blinders on, man. They just thinking about themselves at the point. So they mad at the world. The appreciation for the service that we do, you got to understand. These people, man, we was working at the boats through holidays, you know, sacrificing time with our families on the good days. Because in the casino business, they got what they call blackout days.
Yeah.
That means you can't call off. I mean, what? If you call off, you terminate it?
Like 3 points or something like that, you know what I'm saying, back in the day. Hey, 3 points on a 5-point system.
That's what I'm saying. So they make it real hard for you. They make you have to make a tough decision. I think the customers now, man, they just trying to get over, trying to steal that every chance, every opportunity they can get. They're going to take every shot in the book.
Every shot in the book.
And the thing about it is, when I came there with you, and you know we was on the table together.
Yeah.
We know every shot in the book.
Come on, man. Been doing this too long, you know what I'm saying? Been doing this too long, bro. I mean, like we might be new here, but I ain't new to the game.
Exactly.
I've been in the game longer than you've been born, bro. You know, so, I mean, but I feel your sentiment on that because, like you say, like, in the beginning, I felt like people was just like the average person. They working, you come to the boat, have a good time, win or lose. It was what it was. But nowadays, you got these younger guys, and I think that's what turned me off at this last gig that we was at, that you got all these younger people coming in. And like you say, they just mad at the world because they have made this, gambling is just not a social thing. This is their life. This is their livelihood. You know, if they don't hit 7 or 11 or hit that, the top pair and all that type of crap, the all or nothings, they ain't got nothing. You know what I'm saying? But then, yeah, and still they coming to the boats every day.
Every day.
And here it is, I got a job and can't come to the boat every day and gamble. And so it's just the difference, man, you know, of the people, you know, even on our side, gamblers, even on our side of being dealers, they don't respect the craft.
Not at all.
You coming in, you going on your breaks, getting high, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, you know.
Like, back in the days, man, it was, you respected the crowd because it was new. It was brand new to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Cats came down here from Vegas and Atlantic City and taught these classes and taught these dealer classes and opened up these casinos, man. And we respected them guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we respected the chain of command, man. Somewhere along the way, that lost its way too, man, because they started showing a lot of favoritism and putting people in position that shouldn't be in position.
That shouldn't be in position.
And then they let their bias and their BS come through, man. So yes, yeah, it's changed a lot, man.
Like you say, you know, the chain of command, because people, like when we came to that spot, we was dealers, but people don't know, man. We had already been to that level. You know what I'm saying? We had already been to different levels in the casino, because the casino industry is all about experience. And the more experience you get, the higher you go. We've been to that spot. I didn't want that spot no more because I didn't want to deal with the, you know what I'm saying, like giving out comps every day and knowing that they ain't got nothing in the comp in the comp book. You know, but sometimes we used to look out for folks and, you know what I'm saying, this and that. But the whole atmosphere changed when you see the same people all the time at all the same casinos. Because I worked at every last one of them around here except for Blue Chip. You know what I'm saying? And so,
I didn't work at Blue Chip, but I ain't working Horseshoe. All the rest of them, I was there.
I did the Horseshoe twice, you know, but it's just a different atmosphere that I do not miss. At all, brother. I do not miss it at all. But yeah, man, I appreciate you spending this time with me, man, taking time out your day, coming on the Money Way Show, man, and telling us about your experience on the Wheel of Fortune and your new projects that's coming out, man. We're going to be looking forward to that. And thanks for coming by. Anything else you got to say, man?
Hey, man, just want to thank you for having me, man. You know, you my guy, man. We go way back.
Yeah.
You know, I've been waiting to chop it up with you anyway, man, so... We're going to do some more chopping up offline, behind the scenes, man. So, looking forward to whatever we got coming, man. It's going to be dope.
Hey, for sure, man. Hey, I'm going to get at you, man. We're going to talk soon about that. All right, man. Appreciate you, bro.